Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
He's got Cruz.
35-30. Hey, just so you know, we have no video.
And welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody, here on Giants.com. I'm Paul Dottino, along with Howard Cross. We'll be here for the next hour to talk Giants football with you at 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat if you prefer to hit us up on Twitter instead of making that phone call. Not a problem. We'll be here to answer your questions and, of course, address your comments about Giants football. Now, today being Thursday, it is the second day of practice since the return of JPP. Now, Howard, just to inform everybody of exactly what's going on in the last 24 hours, because when the show aired yesterday, Bill and Anita Marks were in, and JPP was just heading out to the practice field, and nobody knew exactly what it was he was going to do. Okay. To recap briefly, he came in, he signed the other night on Tuesday. Yesterday he came in, he was in full practice gear with the rest of the team, went out there during the media portion, and what we saw him do, he did sprints. He got down low and pushed on the sled. He also did a lot of get up and starts out of his three-point stance using his left hand, which, of course, is something he's got to learn to do very well. That's really all we saw during the media portion. Tom Coughlin told us this morning he thinks JPP's in very good condition. Of course, that's not football shape yet because he hasn't been hitting anybody for many, many, many months. But he is very, very pleased with where JPP is physically, would like to get him a little bit more powerful, and they're going to work with him with the weight and training people to do that. He's at 268 right now, which, according to Coach, even though it's a little lower than he was when he was playing, he's happy with that weight and says that that's not an issue. He can deal with that. And basically, that's where we stand. Now, today, Tom said that JPP is going to take some reps with the scout team. Don't know how many. Don't know how well that's going to go, but that's how they're slowly going to work him into this process. And, of course, we know he will not play Sunday in New Orleans, although Tom would not put that in concrete. He said, look, he wants to play, but that's really not reasonable. And so that's where we stand. Baby steps right now, Howard.
Baby steps. I'll be interested to see what he can do, what he has to offer. Coming back from an injury like that, that's something that's so devastating to your hand and everything. I want to see what he can offer. I mean, I'm excited to hear that he's back. I'm glad that he's healthy enough, not, you know, healthy in general, but healthy enough to play ball. That's pretty cool.
I think one of the things that I noticed, Howard, yesterday, and you'll recall when JPP visited the Giants for a physical in September, there was quite a buzz around the facility because, hey, this was uplifting news. The fact is he was going to come in and everybody was going to take a look and see how he was doing. Well, it was even more uplifting this week that he comes in, has his physical, he's cleared to begin rehab and practice, and actually signs his contract so he can officially be part of the team again. I thought it was very telling. Coach said he thought JPP was very touched and almost emotional being with his teammates again at practice yesterday. And I had several teammates, including Robert Ayers, tell me they hope that Tom brings JPP with them to New Orleans so that he can be with them on the bench, on the sidelines.
I don't know how that works. I think when players are injured, they don't get to travel. So that would be very interesting.
Tom usually doesn't do that, yeah. But he said he would consider it.
That's
given the situation.
You know, again, it's a lot of talk. Again, I want him to be healthy. I want him to play. I want him to do a lot of great things. But I'm not. Unfortunately, I'm not sold yet. I know everybody is. All the fandom is great about it. Let's see what happens. Let's stop talking about, you know, what could happen. Let's see what happens. We got to wait to see what happens.
All right. Here's what we do know: the guys who are practicing, the guys who are on the field right now. They are guys who you have to worry about at the moment. JT Thomas had his foot in a boot yesterday. He's coming off of an ankle injury. Don't know what they're doing in practice. They just got out there a few minutes ago, Howard and I had, coming to the studio. So we're anxious to see if he's okay and how much work he can do this
JT
week.
JT Thomas?
JT Thomas.
When you twist an ankle, if it's low, you can come back in a week. If it's high, it takes 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
So I don't know which one it was, but
we don't know.
I saw him kind of getting a little rehab in the training room earlier, so I don't know exactly what he was working on.
All right, so that's one thing you want to keep an eye on. The other thing you want to keep an eye on is the maintenance to John Beeson's sore knee. It sounds as though, based on what's happened the last couple of weeks, they may give him a day or two off during the week. My understanding was he was going to suit up and try to practice today.
Okay, well, you know, again, practice is not as rigorous as it used to be. So that I think suiting up and going to practice is that you can see some of the looks and where they're standing on the field in a different perspective than watching tape. So I think that's a good thing to give us practice.
All right, and the other fellow who we talked about yesterday that bit significant on the injury report was Jeff Schwartz, also nursing a bit of an ankle injury, did not, have to go through everything yesterday. We're anxious to see what the deal is with him.
Well, he needs both of his. He needs to be at full speed. He can't be limping or slow because it's just not the position for him to be that way. He has to be full strength.
Yeah. All right, folks, 201-939-4513. Dial us up or hit us up on Giants chat, a hashtag on the Twitter. We will start the program with a call from Florida. Phil, you are first on the show. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hey, how are we doing, Phil?
Good, guys. I just want to say I'm a big-time listener, love the show, long-time Giants fan. I think you guys do a great job.
Thank you.
My first question today is, now that we have Ben McAdoo in his second year on the offense and we got Shane Vereen, I just was wondering, why haven't we seen more screenplays? And I know we've seen some, and there's kind of been a few botched plays. You know, Eli throwing it down in the ground at the feet and everything, so I was just wondering, is that something we're keeping in our back pocket? Or, you know, now that we're going up against New Orleans with Rob Ryan's offense, if he sends the house, you think we'd use the screenplays and start getting that going?
I think the screenplay is some teams run screens great. Historically, Giants have not been a great screen team. You have to understand where you want to be on the field when you get your lineman. You have to have the right kind of tempo for the lineman to release the guys to make them feel like you're blocking them just enough so it, when they beat you to get by, it's supposed to be like, oh man, I got by, I'm going to get a sack, ball's out, oh no, it's a screen. And I don't think we haven't figured out yet how to do that consistently. I don't know if people realize how hard it is to run a screen. I know you see some teams do it. Some teams are great at it, like Green Bay, they're great at it, and they've always been great at it, but our team, for some reason, I have no idea, it's just a tough thing for them to do. The guy who catches the ball has to know, his optimal place of where he should be on the field when he catches the ball, where he's trying to get to. He has to understand. I always make fun of kids when I say, you don't understand math. You got to understand there's one guy outside to beat. There's nine guys on the inside. And usually when they catch the screen pass, they dip out and cut back into the nine. So they don't, a lot of these guys aren't mathematicians, of course. So I think that's funny, but it's just one of those things you got to work with.
Right. I was just thinking, that now we have Flowers and we got Pugh and we got Richburg. We got all these young guys that think they can have the legs to run out and, maybe get a bowling ball down the end of the sideline with Shane Vereen behind them. But I see where you're coming from. I understand.
Yeah, it's a tough coaching moment. I will say that.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Phil, thanks for the call. Let's go to Kevin from Charlotte. You're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi.
Great. Excellent. Hey, with JPP coming back, it's good news for the Giants. I'm very excited about it. I was just wanted to get your thoughts on, how do you think they'll use him in the defensive scheme? I was thinking possibly he becomes almost like a roving, like, outside Mike linebacker. And so you can keep Robert Ayers on the field and you can keep Kerry Wynn on the field at the same time and just give them more size and speed out on the field. Giants, you mentioned JT Thomas is banged up. Deason's a little banged up. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. And then also just was curious as to when you guys think that Victor Cruz will be available. That must be, a serious calf injury to keep him out this long. It seems there's other things at play there. But just wanted to get those thoughts. I'll hang up and listen to your
All right, Kevin.
Answer.
Thank you so much for calling. Let me address Cruz. I'll let Howard address the possible usage of JPP. The Cruz situation is that every single week he goes for an MRI. And whenever they see a little speck of something on that MRI, they tell him you can't do whatever it is that you want to do. They shut him down, and they tell him it's a no-go. And that's why Dan Reeves used to say the MRI was the worst thing that ever happened to pro football.
Well, you could say that also. You could also use a live example of Burhe. Burhe came back, had a little speck in there, and he played, and he ripped his calf, and now he had to have surgery. So I'm assuming they're trying not to have the same outcome with Victor. So
No doubt.
I think that people, you know, were listening, we're all hoping. I would have put Victor on IR for a time just to let him get some total rest and relaxation and try to figure out how to rehab it and see if we could do anything with it. But they have hope, you know, hanging on the hope to get him back into the game. You hang on the hope, and it'll be the season to be over before it ever gets there. So you got to figure something out. As far as the JPP thing, we should say, again, the JPP, in theory, won't be back to game 10. You know, I know he wants to go out and wants to play today, but in theory, he wouldn't be back to game 10. And if you're going to use him, I would say put him in with everybody. I think you bring back the NASCAR kind of package if you have enough rushers at that time to get free. You need one guy who can actually get some pressure, somebody beyond Nikita Whitlock, who seems to go into the game a lot in crucial situations, and he gets pressure.
You know, I want to ask you this, Howard, because obviously all the years that you played, and you understand the value of respect. Because a lot of times, it's not even what you do, it's what they think you might do. You know, sometimes it's you can get in somebody's head because they think you can do this or they think you might do this, and that can give you, as an opponent, an edge. Yeah. So how much do you think the implementing of JPP into this defensive game plan is also going to be partly playing mind games with the opposition?
I don't think it's going to play any mind games. I mean, if you know the mind of players, they're always looking for an edge. And to have a player out that you're not sure if he's going to be 100% playing in, and he's well advertised of what's wrong with him, I don't let that guy beat me. I mean, okay. if anything, that gives a guy extra motivation because you don't want to be the guy that JPP.
That got beat by
JPP.
You don't want to be on his highlight reel.
You don't want to be on JPP's highlight reel. You don't want to be on his comeback tour. You don't want to be on any of that. So that's going to motivate players that are playing against him more so than people think.
Wow. Interesting take on that. I didn't think of it in that regard.
That's what it is. I mean, I know fans are all excited and everything's great, but if I was playing and JPP showed up, I'm like, dude, you're going to have a bad day, man. You think your hand's hurting now. Everything's going to hurt on you.
So taking that angle on it, you don't think there's any chance that a player might underestimate him and say, oh, look, he's been out of the game for a while. He's dealing with the hand situation. Ah, he's not going to be anywhere near what he was. You don't see any chance that someone will underestimate him.
I don't think it's – well, again, this is me. This is the way we played back in the day. This is what my mentality was when I went to the field and everything. So what I feel and what I think is, hey, look – you come out, you better be full strength and you're playing at your own risk. That's how I always look at it. And if I have an opportunity to, you know, really have a stat field moment or, you know, a devastating block or whatever, I take that opportunity. I'm not out. We're all making money. We're all trying to win championships. We're all out there for a reason. Bring somebody out there that's not at full strength. I'm not underestimating him. I feel bad for him, but I'm not underestimating him.
Okay. Let's go back to the calls. We will go to Ozzy from New York. You're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to mention, if I may, I want to talk about our defensive line. You know, ever since the only changes we've made ever since the beginning of this year has we brought in the defensive coordinator. And other than that, on defensive line, we haven't done anything from previous year. And then, you know, a name comes into mind, Dwight Freeney. He was available till Arizona just recently signed him, you know. I mean, Jerry Reeves hasn't made any moves. We waited on JPP to come back. Who knows what kind of shape he's going to be. And by the time...
The only thing I want to say to you, I want to interrupt you for just a second now, because Dwight Freeney had been converted to a linebacker over the last couple of years, and he's been more of that hybrid kind of player. Now, I'm not saying he was unavailable that he wasn't available because he was until a few weeks ago. I understand that point. But a lot of what you have to do when you look at a player, you're looking at his health, you're looking at his scheme that he's played, because if you're going to need him, you're going to need him right away, so you can't have any learning curve. So that's all stuff you got to consider. But I don't know, Howard. I mean, you tell me. Dwight Freeney, guy's been in the league a long time. Maybe he was worth a look. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know the answer to that. But what I do know is the Giants seem to think that they got the right combination of guys.
It's not that they got a right combination or wrong combination. Dwight Freeney was on the market for a long time for a reason. It's not because he's making so much money or something like that. He's out of the, he's been, you know, he just got picked up. So he was out in the market. Always remember when you're thinking about things like this, always remember this. Never go after names. Never go after the, you can't recapture a guy that was the Dwight Freeney of Peyton Manning era. That guy doesn't exist anymore. You have
I understand that.
But
I understand.
You have the Dwight Freeney now.
Let me ask you a question. Just answer this then. Forget about Freeney. You telling me even OC in this age wouldn't have done a better job than what we have right now? We have no pass rush. We're going in to play New Orleans. And this, you know, this ain't backup quarterback.
I'm going to have to stop you here because you asked about OC. I talked to OC about this very subject. And no, OC was not of peace of mind to come in here right now and do what you think he what you want him to do. That was not the case.
Yeah, no, OC's done. OC's retired.
He's retired. And he's doing very well now playing for NFL International.
I heard what he said. OC said that he wanted to play one more year. Jerry Reese said, no, we're going a different route.
That was months ago. That was not. But if they were going to do that, that was going to have to be done in March or April. OC was not of peace of mind now to all of a sudden come in here and sign a deal.
They're not that. If there's a pass rusher out there that's relevant that could do something, teams are looking at him. I mean, you kind of got what you got because what happens in July, everything kind of goes up in smoke, so to speak. God forgive me for using those terms, but you're here now. You got to find guys, and most guys are on teams. You're left with the guys that are being cut and let go and shopped around. You're not going out and signing guys. You know they could have signed Ndamukong Suh, but you would have had to pay through the nose to get a guy like Ndamukong Suh.
Ozzie, thanks for the call. I want to give you a couple numbers, Howard, just to illustrate your point. 2012, his final year with the Colts, Freeney had 5 sacks. He goes to the Chargers, has half a sack in only 4 games because he got hurt. Mm-hmm. 2014, he has 3.5 sacks in a full season, I might add. 3.5 sacks. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, he signs with the Cardinals and had one the other day in only his second game back.
People forget that.
Diminished production.
It's not diminished production. People just get old.
Well, what happens.
It's just part of it. I mean, people make jokes like, hey, man, you could come back. You should play. I'm like, man, I can't even jog out of the building. What are you talking about? Like, forget about playing. So it's just funny. I think it's great, you know, that everybody wants someone to come in here and be the savior and start sacking the quarterback. I mean, the guys we got to figure it out.
You know why, though, Howard? Because the videotapes, the DVDs, the football cards, they never get old. You're young forever, and people look at those things and think that's what you are.
I really wish I was that young. If I was that guy, boy, I'd be hell on wheels, to say the least.
I believe we're up to Big Ed. Is that true, Dave? We're up to Big Ed from Maryland. You're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Good to talk to you.
It's good to hear you guys. Pauly D and Howard Cross. How special it is.
That's very kind of you.
On top of the East right now.
Yep.
With that win, we put Dallas in last place.
Oh, man, he's got that Halloween laugh going.
He's happy. He's happy. I mean, yeah, you know, the Giants have that. They're in the catbird seat.
They smile on their faces, and we don't have to see them no more because they won't be in the playoffs.
No, they're not going to be in the playoffs. Unfortunately, you know, that whole thing kind of hung on Romo and Romo being out. And when Dez Bryant comes back, there's going to be total chaos because he's going to want the ball every play.
And it's just not going to work.
No.
It's just not going to work.
Okay.
See, and tell Lance, Eli is going to throw for over 300 yards. He said on the over-under that he's not going to do it. There's no way. Eli's going to throw over 300 yards. Tell him to let it fly.
Against the Saints?
You're home. Let it fly.
Well, the game is in New Orleans, but I'm inclined to agree with you. He will throw for over 300 yards.
We beat him at home, but we ain't beat him there. We got to beat him there.
I hear you, Big Ed. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Good to see you, man.
All right, you too. He's feeling good.
He's liking that, man. Anytime the Cowboys go down, guys get happy.
I do have a fan who's hitting me up on Twitter. I'm at Giants WFAN. He's at Howard Cross 87. He wants to know, Tom Przybylinski, and I hope I got that right. It's good a tough one, Tom, but I did my best. He wants a shout-out for his birthday today, so big happy birthday to you. Enjoy the cake. Light those candles and have some fun tonight.
That's funny.
Enjoy that dessert and the meal, and hopefully your family treats you real well, and the Giants put a smile on your face at the end of the weekend. We have Drew from Virginia next on the line at 201-939-4513. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Good, man.
I'm sorry, Howard.
Hey, how we doing?
First and foremost, man, let me say this right here. Let me just preface this right now because I already know I'm going to hear this. I've been hearing this same song and dance from you guys forever. No, I don't have a name to pick for you. No, I don't have a body body for you to replace anybody on the team. Mm-hmm. That said, you guys keep trying to sell us this horrendous defense, and this defense is just horrendous. We don't have anybody in there. We seriously don't have a pass rush, and I ain't trying to be funny, but quite frankly, I'm just kind of tired of hearing the same old with this and that and everything. This defense sucks.
Drew, I'm going to make it simple for you. I'm going to make it very simple for you. I believe the Giants MVP on defense is Steve Spagnuolo. Now, it's okay if Howard wants to disagree with me. I'm fine with that. But I'm sticking by the fact that I think he is the most important guy on that defense because I have a tremendous amount of belief and faith in him. Having said that, I think the Giants defense, for the most part, outside of a guy like Prince, who I think is an outstanding cover corner, I think DRC is an outstanding cover corner. Outside of those guys, I think physically, the Giants have a lot of just okay players on defense. They don't have Lawrence Taylors. They don't have Harry Carsons. They don't have Leonard Marshalls and Carl Bankses and Michael Strahans and Jesse Armsteads. They don't have any Pro Bowl caliber defensive players in the starting lineup, but they've got two outstanding corners in Prince and DRC, and that's a great place to start. And hopefully,
and one is hurt.
And hopefully JPP will be able to give them something that will add to the pass rush. But here's the point. If you've got an outstanding defensive coordinator and a defense that's full of okay guys, you can survive. You can be a playoff team in this league. It can happen. So are we agreeing at least somewhat now?
No. Let me finish what I'm going to say, okay? You know, I'm a Giants fan. I'm a sports fan. I'm a Giants fan. I'm a Yankees fan, okay? Point being is that I never look – but I'm a huge sports fan. So my point is I never look at my team through that jersey-colored glasses. I look at how they perform through the rest of the league because, again, I'm a sports fan overall, okay? I understand we got a lot of injuries and everything else, man, but I got to tell you right now, the talent that we pick up and the talent that we have with some of the people that we've let go, this team just simply can't get it done. With regards to JPP, in my opinion, okay, and this is strictly my opinion, I honestly have absolutely no faith in JPP. I know the name is out there. I get that. But, you know, he's going to have to show me something because I tell you right now, at the end of this year, at the end of this season, when it's all said and done, my money, you could put it on the board, my money says JPP's not going to be here next year. I simply have no faith in him.
Well, you know, next year's next year. Let's talk about what they need now. I mean, Drew, honestly, you're looking far ahead now.
The reason that I say that now is to say this. JPP has been out of football for a minute, and I know it's going to take a few games for him to get into football shape. I get that. But, you know, let's not forget that, really, JPP has kind of been hit or miss even last year and the year before that. Yeah, he has some games that he's had pretty good and this and that, and he always seems to rise against the Washingtons. But JPP has been questionable anyway, so I don't really expect much of him this year is my point. Okay, yeah, he's going to help. Yeah, he'll help out a little bit, but I don't see the JPP of old. I just don't.
Well, that JPP also had Justin Tuck and OCU Muir, so that JPP doesn't exist. What I would think, though, just so you know, can I understand what you're saying? The defense is not great, but Coach Spags has done a lot with what he has. He's keeping them in the game. Right now, they're in first place in the East. They're probably. Right. If they continue, if they win, you know, a couple games looking down the line here, there's some winnable games that they have to win. And then there's some games they're going to be close. If they get to 9-7, legitimately 9-7, they win the East, hands down.
Yeah,
not that. Then they get into the playoffs.
Let me just say this last thing, and then I'm going to go because I know you got all the callers. Mm-hmm. Let me just say this, okay? You know, to me, I think the make or break is going – because, you know, we're playing in New Orleans – I think the make or break is going to be that game, because that's really going to show what this defense is made of. Last thing, let me just ask this: we are getting some players back for this week, right?
I'm not sure.
Like, who are you looking to get back? Prince is not coming back, not for this week's game. No.
No, I'm not talking about Cruz. Forget Cruz.
No, Prince. Prince Amukamara. He's out for the game. Tom already ruled him out yesterday.
For the defense?
Yes.
Okay, right. So, yeah, so this game scares me to death. But, all right, guys, thank you.
All right, Drew, thank you. The only thing that I really had a problem with in terms of his phone call and trying to reason with him a little bit is that he was being critical that the Giants haven't added anybody or helped out this defense at all, and they've just brought back a player who they think can add to the pass rush. So you can't have it both ways. I mean, I know JPP isn't going to Hawaii. He's not that player anymore. But right now, I hate to tell you, based on the available talent that is on the street, he's about the best you're going to get.
I don't argue any of this with fans as they're complaining about who's on the field, who's not on the field. I'm like, you got to go with what you have. Once you have that, you can complain about it and be upset about it the entire time, but that's what you got. You gotta hope and Spags gets the right calls in some way, somehow. Somebody there is going to figure out who can be that blitzer. Maybe it's going to be Collins. Maybe it's going to be Landon Collins coming up from the safety spot. But you did say you had two good corners. I think the safety's pretty good, too. I like Landon Collins and Roll Tide. But it's one of those things where you got to go with what you got, like the no-name defense. There are teams around the league that don't have players that anyone knows, but they're making plays. And that's what you kind of want. You know, Dwight Freeney shows up in Arizona. It's like Arizona, they got a pass rush. They got everything. Freeney shows up. Okay, well, welcome aboard, Freeney. Like, he doesn't have to do that much in Arizona.
Right.
If he comes here, and he would have to do a lot more, or they would expect a lot more out of him. He's not a 10-sack guy. And there's no 10-sack guys in this building. Not that I know of. And they keep saying that, you know, I know we want it to be, but they're not here.
We wanted DeMontre Moore to be that, but it didn't really work out that way, did it?
Well, I ain't going to say anything.
I know. Scott from the Bronx, you're next on the show. Hello.
I don't know if you remember.
Hi, Scott.
Talking to you and David Deal a while back about Jared Allen. I'm going to let that go for a while now, but I'm going to wait the end of the year and have a dialogue with you on that.
Okay.
But, Howard, a question. Long-time Giant fan, go back the days talking on up. When you guys played the game, I just think it was more intense and it was fundamental. And it was the bump and bruises, but I just can't put my finger on that. Why there's these rash injuries? Is it because they don't do enough in the preseason? It just seems not just the Giants, all through the NFL.
I think the Players Association and the players, when they went out to negotiate, and it's just opinion, I don't know for sure. I think they negotiated away practice time and physical practice at that. I just personally feel that everything you do is kind of like boxing. If you want to get in the ring and you want to fight 3 rounds, 5 rounds, 6 rounds, 12 rounds, whatever it is, you got to spar. And if you don't spar, you're not going to be able to take a punch. You're not going to be able to throw a punch. You're going to get tired when you're getting hit. That's just part of it. You got to practice this stuff that you're doing. When a baseball pitcher is out, or when a batter's out, or a position player's out, they send him down to the minors to get full speed practice games, not kind of play, not anything else. Like, yo, I need you to see that heater. I want you to see that curveball. I want you to throw your best. They want to see everything. So every sport's doing it. Basketball does it. You know, soccer does it. You actually have to do your sport. And when you try to just show up and reduce time and, oh, we're saving our bodies for the game, a lot of things happen. You're not prepared to move quick. You think you are, but you haven't done anything quick the entire time. You're tearing pec muscles because you're out of position and your arms outside of your body instead of sliding your feet and getting there. You get the phantom injuries in your calf, your groin, because you're just not used to firing those muscles. And you're not used to being bumped when you're running full speed. So those things are things that I think that if they're smart, I think we said this last week, I think if they're smart, they'll have the Players Association, the Training Association, and the Coaches Association sit down together and try to figure out how are we going to make our players safe and get more practice time? Because that's what they need.
I think it's great observation and great what you mentioned there. Real quickly, because I know you have other calls.
Mm-hmm.
My comments here is, and I watched you guys play. I mean, I think you and Bavaro as a team, and when you guys were tight ends together and playing, I think you guys would have to agree with me. You would be salivating if you were playing today in today's game.
It would be so easy.
Yeah.
These
guys are really good.
I mean, that to me is a lot of guts to play. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for the player safety.
Yeah.
But I just think the pendulum has to swing back again where it's football.
It's still
a game of knocks and bruises. It's going to be there. And you got a lot of guys, and I don't mean to be critical like this. They look like Tarzan, play like Jane. I mean, I think it's a training mechanism that needs to be revisited again and get that back there. I think the guys are professional and everything else. Don't get me wrong, but as a fan, you're missing that. And Paul, what I enjoy about listening to your comments about is the old school method ways. You know, I'm a true fan. I watch the game as a fan, watching the game from the line of scrimmage, where the two lines and how it develops either offense or defense, that and then you look at the other plays, how they materialize. It's just something really missing, I think.
Well,
and I hope it gets back there.
You know, Scott, you got to remember now, I've been covering the team in the league since 1983 when Parcells was a rookie head coach. So that even goes back before Howard. And I used to come to practice every single day. And in those days, the coaches used to let us watch the entire practice session. It's not like it is now. So I've seen literally billions and billions of snaps in practice if you go back the 33 years that I've been around. So when I tell you these things and when I talk about the old school tactics and the old school methods and what football was and how great it was, I'm telling you that based on I saw it. I saw it not just on Sundays, but I saw it every single day in practice for 2 hours and 2.5 hours a day and 2 days at training camp. I saw all that stuff. And I know how the game has been watered down over the years. So I appreciate you, recognizing that because I'm not pulling this stuff out of thin air, you know?
No, absolutely not. I think it's great observation, again, saying that. But, again, it is a true, true fan of the game. I just hope we get some of it back.
I understand. You know, hey, Scott, we're going to let you go. And do keep that Jared Allen thought in mind. Through five games so far this year, he has only one sack, which goes back to what Howard was saying about Dwight Freeney. You know, these guys are not what they were. They are what they are now.
Yep. You are what you are, 100%.
All right, let's go to the Twitter for just a second here and see if we can pull up some of these because I know some folks are a little shy about calling us on the phone. Let's see what we have here. Senor Ruiz says next game is no cakewalk. The Saints are no pushover.
I think that they're more than that. I think that, you know, the big thing is going to be, can the Giants just need to get their hands up? They need to cloud the passing lanes from Drew Brees. If they're not going to get there, he's a short guy. Get your hands up, be in the middle, make him throw around your arms, around your hands on every play. Tip some balls. You get one tipped in the air, all of a sudden it's going the other direction. That's what you're going to have to do to make it work.
All right. Go to WR80, and his name is Tom, but his Twitter is at GoToWR80. Says, Hankins isn't getting sacks. Is this the lack of JPP, or is he carrying too much weight? He thinks he looks a tad slower.
I don't say anything about big dudes, man. They may be listening to this. I don't want to talk about big dudes. No, I mean,
Hankins was a better pass rusher last year, though.
Yeah,
but again, it was a better combination.
It was a better combination. And guys were, like I said, a year later, more attention that people can actually focus on you. Also, I don't think fans take enough of this in consideration. Once you've done something special for a year, you're on tape.
They got you.
Like, oh, so this is what he's doing. And every, like, we study everything. We know what you do, what you, what's your go-to, what's your favorite. You only have so much room in there to work. Once we see it on tape, we know what we're looking for. And like, hey, don't let him beat you with that. You know, we know he's going to do that. Don't let him beat you with that. So you watch.
Wee-High Cleek says, like McAdoo's offense last year, towards the end of the season, the defense will be a whole different animal.
I hope so. I hope so. I think it's going to rely a lot on the health of a lot of players, a lot of guys getting back. If you have both corners in the game, if you have if JPP gives you a little something, that picks up the energy of the other players. If Beeson can make it through the whole season and Onga, and you get, you know, Kennard, if he starts coming along and Double O starts getting some pass rush, you may have something special that we don't even know yet. So you just got to play it. It's a process. Every game, you got to work at it. It's a process.
All right. We have at JCS02008. He says his name is Joe. He wants to comment that when Spags blitzes Landon Collins, namely on run plays, it works well. Pass blitzing never gets there for some reason.
I don't know. Like I said, again, you have to understand the whole concept of when you're coming, who you're coming on, what you're avoiding. You can't take an angle. You have to run over the back sometimes. A lot of guys try to run around him. When you try to run around him, he bumps you off your track. That's another thing that's a failure from the practice. Think about this. When they were able to practice rushing the passer and rushing on a back, they were actually able to have a physical, let's do this kind of drill. They don't do that anymore.
No.
Most teams in the league don't do that anymore.
No.
So it's hard to learn how to, in theory, you know what you're supposed to be doing. But if the guy, if the back doesn't want to hit you, you don't want to hit the back, and both of you are trying to figure out how to get around each other in that moment, it gums up the works. I hear every game I see on TV, I hear this all the time. Oh, he stoned him coming across the line. I'm like, I haven't seen anybody get stoned. Like, nobody's getting hit.
All right, fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. JoJo, it's at 1102 JoYM. Okay, a little complicated with your Twitter handle. Says, Paul and Howard, when Shaki Brown and Corey Washington become eligible after we beat the Saints, do you see those healthy guys helping? I don't know that the Giants are going to re-sign either one of them, but it's nice of you to assume the Giants will beat the Saints.
That's good. I hope they beat the Saints. It'll be a big day. If they beat the Saints, they're going to go a long way real quickly.
It'd be really feathering their cap if they could pull this one off.
That will put a lot of momentum on their side.
Yeah, I mean, big time.
They're expecting a tough game, but if they go down there and beat them.
Rob Hines Jr. Says, how about getting the ball to your best player? That would be Beckham. No matter what the defense is doing, and dictate the second half like you do in the first.
That is a question that's puzzling even to me. I have no idea why Beckham goes dark in the second half of games unless – he's out there on the field. He's running his routes. I'd be looking for him. I'd make them double him. They'd have to double him, and then I'd be coming back to the other players. But they haven't done that. They really haven't. And maybe they're doubling. Maybe they've got a guy over the top. Maybe he's shading a lot more than it looks. But I got to see it to understand. I got to throw it one time in that direction. The good thing is that it kind of reduces the turnovers for Eli because he's not throwing into double coverage every time.
I love this one tweet. It's from Dave Tollefson, former Giants defensive end, who fires off a tweet and says, if anybody can come back from something like that, JPP can. Seen him do impossible things before. Easy guy to root for.
Oh, that's really nice. I thought Tollefson was about to say he's available. I think D, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Mike from New York, you're next on the show. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Hey, I'm doing good. What's going on, Mike?
Good. Hey, you know, I was listening to a previous caller, and, you know, Drew was talking about fans with rose-colored glasses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I agree our defense doesn't make me feel real confident when it's on the field right now. But, you know, when I look at who's on the roster, I also – I try to be a realist, and I just think, like, you know, the modern NFL, it's just so complicated. Salary cap, free agency, limited practices. And then, you know, add injuries onto that equation. And and I just, you know, so I give our coaches credit for, you know, the roster they try to assemble and making, you know, the guys that we have play mm-hmm. as best as they can and as a team. So I just think about, like, Jadeveon Clowney, dude who's going to be guaranteed star, but, you know, he has yet to have an impact because of injury. You know, Daniel Fells was going to be critical for us this year, lost for the year probably for his career. Mm-hmm. You know, David Wilson, I think that was going to be a star once he learned how to you know, really play running back at this level. Unbelievable explosive talent gone for us. You know, Kenny Phillips, my perennial Pro Bowler, locking down the back end. So, mm-hmm. you know, you just can't make long-term plans in the NFL. Things change. So, you know, I guess I'm looking at the youth movement in our team right now. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's exciting. And I look at a team that's going to improve as we go through the year. It's just the number of players, young players we're counting on right now. I mean, Bromley, from what I've seen of him, making a lot of improvement this year. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, hopefully they're right. He's going to be impact player for the future. Hankins is already a stud. Kennard, Collins, Adigi Zua, you know, a lot of hope for the future. You know, on the offense, Richburg, Flowers, you know, the list goes on. So I guess, you know, I'm just calling in to kind of hear you guys talk about the youth movement and like your thoughts about how long it takes to really get these guys playing at a NFL level, and whether you think we do have some real impact players on the roster.
Well, I think you have, you know, you got to go Odell Beckham, impact player. I don't know what people watched in the game, but if you watch the big time pass rusher from Dallas, what's his name again?
Hardy.
Hardy's supposed to be the man, right? Did you see Flowers out there dancing with him? He was worried.
Yeah.
Hardy was unhappy.
can I give you – I want to interrupt just a second.
Him out.
Before I forget this, yeah, because I did my tape study on the Dallas game the other day. I came up with Flowers going mano a mano against Hardy on 22 snaps. I gave Flowers 19 wins. One loss, it was a quarterback pressure where Hardy got into the face of Eli and made him force a throw. Mm-hmm. And I had two draws. 22 snaps, 19 wins, one loss, and two draws, to the point where Hardy only drew Flowers six times in the second half. The Giants didn't have a lot of snaps, but they were moving Hardy away from him. He wanted no part of that rookie.
They pulled him out. They were like, oh, he was all excited to play against the rookie. I saw him getting up, you know, off the ground. Flowers rolling
two
around.
Pancakes. Yeah. Flowers dominated him.
I mean, I'll be honest. You know, what I was reading before the draft was, you know, terrible footwork, you know, terrible hand placement. He wasn't even on my radar when they picked him. I had to turn around and go back and start watching film and, like, find out, like, who is this guy that we
play.
So, you know, yeah, he kid can definitely play. I love him. But you got to give the organization credit where they hit. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, for me, I'm just hoping that, you know, they did the same thing with Odigi Zua. I'm hoping that, you know, I think Landon Collins is looking great. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's it. I guess, you know, we've had a big turnover, especially on that offensive line, and I hope it continues. So I appreciate you guys.
Thank you very much, Mike. To your point about the youth of this team, the Giants have 11 players on the current roster who got here before 2013. So everybody else is either in their third year or less.
Nice. That's good. That's what you got to do. That's how you keep building a team.
Is it Gerson or Gerson from California? You're next on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's Gerson.
Hey, how you doing, Gerson?
Hi.
It's been a while since I've called. I'm a loyal listener every day out of California.
Nice.
You guys made my day, I'll tell you that much, being out here. So I want to thank you guys for all your work. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And appreciate you sending us 70-degree sunny weather, too, today, because it's beautiful here
in
New Jersey.
It's hot outside, man.
You'd be surprised how much we complain about the heat, though. Yeah. But, I mean, what I was calling about, I listen to call all the time, and I just see a lot of the callers chewing up on the defense and offensive line. I don't know if they remember, but 07 and 11, we had great players in 07, great defense, and we were losing quite a bit.
Yep.
And then in 07, we had no line, and the defense was somewhat not really playing. Eli was holding the fort, and then we still made it, and our record wasn't like 11 wins or more than that. We're looking at 9 wins. So
I just want to make a point with that. And, I mean, come on, we still have a long season to go. You don't know what's going to happen. We can just hope for the best and, you know, let coaches do what they do. And, you know, I think when someone runs a multi-million dollar company, I don't think they're going to be missing out on a lot of players out there. They're free agents. So, I don't know. That's just my perspective on that.
Well, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. I think he was on the car phone, and thank you so much for dialing us up from California. We certainly appreciate that.
He could have been at the beach.
Yeah, those are heavy waves.
Yeah.
but we do, and thank you for the kind comments as well. We certainly enjoy being here on the show. I will mention this, Howard. The game on Sunday, as people have asked me to size it up, I really believe this has the potential to be one of those shootout track meet games where you're talking about 37-35, 38-31. I'm thinking it's going to be high scoring, and it's really going to be one of those fantasy football kind of games where Breeze and Eli are going to wing it.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping for the tackle of guys. I'm not looking for any plays over 20 yards from the Saints. If we can limit the long play, the long ball, and keep everything inside and compact, that could be a good game. Make them really work to get the ball down the field and not let it be big hits, because what happens when you play the Saints, they try to hit you big early. And if they can get out in front, it just changes the momentum.
It really does.
Yeah. So the Giants are going to have to score some points and score, you know, with Ryan out there blitzing every down, there are going to be some opportunities for guys to take it to the house because there won't be anybody in the back to cover it.
Fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. 201-939-4513 is our number. Greg from Albany, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? What's up, Howard? You guys
great.
Do a great job. I've been listening to you for a long time. I got to say, though, I did hear a statement earlier, Paul, and correct me if I'm wrong. Your words were, look, JPP is not going to Hawaii. He's not that anymore. Now, I know he's year to year, that kind of thing. But to me, with hard work and repetition, I think that he can get back to the JPP of a few years back. I mean, we've all seen what he's capable of.
Okay.
You take players like Ronnie Lott and so forth. I'm sure, I think Charles Haley maybe. But those guys went through those kind of situations. They worked hard, went through the repetitions, and became All-Pro after that. So
maybe
I just wanted some clarity on that, Paul.
Maybe I should be clear. Right now, today, he's not the JPP of Pro Bowl caliber. Now, is there a chance in a year or two? Could he work himself back into being that guy? Maybe he can.
Yeah.
We don't know that. Nobody knows that. But right now, he's not that guy.
I'm going to say the football, NFL specifically, is the sport where you see your players get older every year. It just is. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody's telling you. Whatever you want to believe, you watch guys, you watch them get older in front of you.
It's harder to make that kind of comeback in football than any other sport.
Because you just.
I agree.
You know, it's like, think of Ray Rice, you know, the whole thing with Ray Rice and why didn't he play after all the turmoil and everything. He didn't play because he was averaging 2 yards a carry. They didn't bring him back, not because, it's domestic violence and everything is bad. He just wasn't the guy he used to be. If he had been a 5 yard guy or a 6 yard carry guy, if he was still putting down numbers like that, they'd be like, "Hey, Ray, man, keep your hands to yourself. Come on in and get in the game. We need you, bro." But that's how it works.
No, Paul, I've listened a long time. I just wanted to get some clarity on that. Thank you.
Sure.
And all that aside, having JPP in the locker room just itself, his presence is a big boost. So. Looking forward to the future.
He's a well-liked guy, and it is definitely a shot of adrenaline for this locker room.
And Twitter's blowing up with the clips of him out there in practice running around and throwing pads around. But I will warn people as they look at these clips, remember, they're not in pads. It's a workout. It looks good, but they're not in pads. There's no contact or anything. So just I'm excited to see him out there moving around too, but they're not in pads.
All right.
I appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. Bill from Phoenix. Is he next, Dave? Okay.
Yes,
hello, Bill.
Hey, how we doing?
Good. Hey, I got a question for you guys on the play calling.
Sure.
Okay.
Last week it was like third and ten, third and five, the last series the Giants had, and they went for that run up the middle. So I guess Dallas would be, you know, burn the time out, burn their last time out.
Yeah, Coach Coughlin, before you say anything else, he did address that already to the media, and he said, look, I had decided we were just going to run it three times. That was it. It was my call. We were just going to, you know, make them use all their timeouts, and we were running it. Even though, you know, the odds of getting the first down were not very good at that point, he had made up his mind they were going to do it that way, and that's it. So this had nothing to do with any audibles or Coach McAdoo. Coach Coughlin decided we're running it.
I agreed with the play. I think you want to make them use timeouts. If you remember the first game, that was the issue, throwing the ball, stopping the clock, and we knew what the outcome was. If they just ran the ball in that situation, the outcome probably would have been a lot different.
Right, but my question is, I'm wondering if they're being haunted by that first situation for maybe when they should have run the ball, they passed the ball. This time here, it looks like they should have passed the ball, and they run the ball. And I'm wondering if that didn't factor in to the coach's decision just to give it up.
Well, should
because the timeout wasn't going to make that big a difference.
Oh, yes, it was.
Since they were only behind, it wasn't like they were behind by just 3 points where a timeout, you could call it and stop the clock and run your field goal out. They had to go seven, you know, they were behind by 7 points.
They're trying.
I know.
But in those situations, what they're trying to do. So, just so you understand, what coaches are trying to do, they're trying to figure out what's going to happen as they move forward. They are haunted by what happened the first time because the defense doesn't get the pressure on the quarterback that they need to get. So, you need for them to have no timeouts. Well, they have to have a perfect operation going down the field. If you throw the ball and you stop the clock, then you're punting. Once you punt, the clock really doesn't start till after the punt's over. No matter where they get it, if they get it all the way back, if they get it, if they have a great run, it doesn't matter. You have to make them use up all their timeouts. And you have a guy, Matt Castle, now that's not his strong suit. You want to put as much pressure on them to finish as possible when you got the lead. Coach Parcells did it all the time.
Yeah.
He did it all the time. We'd go ahead, and all of a sudden it's 3 yards in cloud dust, 3 yards in cloud dust, 3 yards in cloud dust. Eat the clock up. Make them have to use their timeouts.
Clock management was a very, very high priority for Coach Parcells, and Coach Ron Earhart was the offensive coordinator. And remember, Ray Handley was the running backs coach who was actually in charge of the numbers. He was the clock guy.
He was a little crazy.
He had his issues, but he was good at that.
He was very good at that. He was really, really smart.
Appreciate the call, Bill.
All right, thank you very much.
Brandon from New Jersey, you're next on the show.
Yes, what's going on, Paul?
Hi.
What's up, Paul?
What's up, man? Yeah, what's going on? Hey, this is what I'm saying. This is what I see. I see JPP coming back. We're getting Cruz back. We're getting Will Beatty back. We're getting healthy down the stretch to make the push. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I need you to do, Paul. When you be in that press room, I need you to tell Coughlin, man, put Will Beatty at right tackle. Don't move the kid. Flowers. He needs to stay right there, man.
Brandon, I got a little confession for you. Coach doesn't take my advice. but it's not a bad thought because I think Howard and I both agree that that's the better way to go, that leave Flowers at left tackle.
Well, I don't think you mess up the flow that you have on that side. You got three guys kind of in their place right now. I think the battle becomes between Newhouse and Beatty to see if he can get on the field. I think right tackle is actually easier for him to play just coming back from the injury since I think it's his left side that's hurt, right? So if you put him in right tackle, his left side's inside, so he's protected a little better right there instead of being out there on the left side where he's dropping back in that arm. It's totally exposed to the outside rush.
Exactly.
It makes it easier for you.
It makes it very easier for him.
Yep.
And not nothing against Newhouse. He held it down, you know. Yeah. He didn't do a very bad job, as people would make it seem, but he had been struggling the last 2 weeks. But I just believe Will Beatty will be more fitted at the right tackle position and leave Flowers out there and let him blossom.
Understood, Brandon.
Good call. I like that.
Thank you so much.
right.
We'll talk to you again. And I will say, Marshall Newhouse has played better than his resume indicated.
Well, that's no doubt. He's in there playing the entire time. He has to play better. So I think maybe even, you know, Source better be a little concerned, because if Beattie does move out right, Newhouse could move down.
He has played guard in this league before.
Yeah, he has good feet. He's a big-time fighter. That might be his spot. So you have to be aware of what's going on around you. If you're on the field now and you're looking over, you're seeing Beattie getting better, you got to start thinking, well, which one of us is out? And that's what I'd be thinking.
And as Coach always says, competition's a good thing.
Oh, always.
Joe from Pennsylvania, you may be last. We'll see how many more we can squeeze in. Go ahead.
Hey there, Paul Howard. I was just going to say, did Corey Washington sign with the Skins?
I think he did. I know he was going down there. I can't tell you 100%. Let me see if I can find it on the web here, if he did sign with them. He's supposed to be signing to their practice squad, yes, he was. He was signed to the practice squad.
Yeah.
Redskins.com says signed to the practice squad.
Yeah, he could help us, and I was going to say Darkwood proved, they said, in preseason. He showed how he'd run the ball, could run the ball, but so was that other guy I mentioned. That was his name, Hunt, the young kid we had.
Hakeem Hunt, he signed with the Ravens practice squad a few weeks ago.
Because I would have loved him back there running kickoffs. That was a great wall that they put
up
the Giants.
You don't like Dwayne Harris running back kickoffs? You'd rather have Hakeem Hunt over Dwayne Harris?
I did like that, but Harris could be running punts, and he's going to be out there receiving for us too. So, I mean, that young kid there, he would be very elusive too.
I'm keeping Dwayne Harris back there, thank you.
Whatever, but that was a great wall set up, Paul. You could have got through that wall.
Oh, I don't know.
I know you could.
I don't know about that.
I would have loved to see that, Paul. But you would have got through that wall.
Hey,
so,
big thumbs up, though, on the blocks thrown by Darkwood and Casillas, who actually sprung that return.
It was a great wall. It really was. It was one of the best I've ever seen. So he hit that hole. He knew where it was. And I have to say, Darkwood, too, running the ball. He seems to know where the hole is, and he can sliver right through there. He looks good too, Paul. So
I like him. Always have.
Okay,
that's it, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay. Hey, one more time. I want to tell fans not to forget. Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. A couple of more minutes here, Howard, so let's see if we can get some tweets here and get a couple of the internet comments that folks were trying to sneak in before we kick off the show, or should I say end the show. We have Ben Gruen says Schwartz has had a tough couple of weeks. I don't think there's any question that the offensive line as a whole has had some difficulties the last few weeks. Again, going up against some of the better defensive fronts in the league.
Yes, that's what you have to remember. I don't think people realize when you're playing against the Eagles, you're playing against a pretty solid defensive front. And, of course, the Cowboys with Hardy being back and McClain being back. It's tough to block all those guys, especially when a guy like Hardy is going down. That's why they moved Hardy around, to try to find a hole in the fence, and he found it.
All right, we got one here, Howard. You're going to love this. At NYG Tweets says, JPP is ready to play. He's grabbing, shedding blocks, and grabbing fumbles as we speak.
I hope he comes back and tears it up. I hope he's as good. You know, he's playing for more than what fans understand. His contract, this is it for him. This is his last year. So he's got to go out and not just show to the Giants. He's got to show 31 other teams, hey, look, I can still play. Like, he was supposed to be a $60 or an $80 million guy. So he's got to show out now and go out and show people, hey, look, I can still get it done. And that's going to be a big chore for him. And that's what he wants to do. He's excited to play, but he's excited to prove to people, hey, look, I want to be here. I want to be out on the field. I can get this done. I'm still the same guy. So it's going to be interesting to see.
We have Brian Clark at BCNY22 says, this is a week for the offense to carry the load. I don't think there's much doubt.
I think that
got to score, Howard.
I think every week is the week for them to carry the load. They really need to score 28 points per game is kind of what what they're kind of built to do. So let's see if they can figure out a way to do it.
All right, I got one more here, and I don't want to get accused of tampering. But Donald, who is at Tag Rocket, says maybe we can get Megatron next year if the Lions decide to blow up their team. OBJ and Megatron on the outside. Oh, baby.
You know, Megatron, he's still around. He's still doing a decent job. Not what he used to be, but he's still a great player.
You know, I was just telling somebody the other day that when Plaxico Burress was here, mm-hmm. he was that generation of players, Larry Fitzgerald mm-hmm. and Megatron.
Yeah.
He was that good.
He was that good. He was, you know, a guy at 6'4", 6'5", that could run like that, had, you know, increases the throwing, what we call the throwing range where the ball can hit you by a long spot. His wingspan is great. It just makes it an easier way to play.
Folks, that's going to do it for today's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We are here on Giants.com every Monday to Friday from noon to 1 o'clock Eastern Time at 201-939-4513. Or you can always hit us up online at Twitter. Hashtag Giants Chat is the show's handle, or at Howard Cross 87, or at Giants WFAN. He's Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you next time.
No problem.
All right, here we go. Come on, man, we need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field, he's got through. 35-30.
Broken, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!